Welcome to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay.
Together, we bring over 30 years of experience in working with women and partners through education, breathing, mindfulness, and evidence-based information, and nurturing you through this transformation into motherhood.
Join us on this journey as we connect with women and partners, mentoring, supporting, and navigating the ups and downs of becoming parents. Welcome to episode 20 of the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast. In this episode, Nicola and I actually interview a beautiful lady. Her name is Nicole Moore from Birth Into Being Australia. So Nicole is a mum herself. She's a home birth mum and she's really passionate about supporting women and partners, both preconception as well as during their pregnancy, to help them overcome fear and trauma. Now, she says that birth has become immersed in a culture of fear and trauma, but you don't need to accept this as your reality. She goes on to explain that our babies' births are significant, creating imprints within their neurobiology and emotional life. For our babies' optimum development, for ourselves as parents, for the blessed unfolding of our lives together, we need to bring them gently in with love. And she says that, you know, our responsibilities as parents is to create the best possible circumstances for them to have the gift of the most gentle, loving arrival possible. And it was so beautiful talking to Nicole, and she explains about the limbic imprint and how what we feel, our babies feel, and shares a little bit about what we can do during our pregnancy to stay calm and feel connected with our baby and give them the best possible entrance and most positive, calm entrance into our world. Nicola and I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, Nicole Moore from Birth Into Being. Thank you for joining the Nurture Hub podcast today.
My pleasure. Looking forward to a juicy chat.
Yes. I always have juicy chats with you. So I actually attended one of Nicole's Birth Into Being workshops back, I think it was around 2016. It was, a few years ago now. And it was so beautifully awakening to me to kind of hear what you have to share, and especially, I guess, about the limbic imprint. So we'd love to have a chat to you today about Birth Into Being, a bit of your story and how you help women during pregnancy for their birth, or even not when they're pregnant, preparing for pregnancy. Is that right?
Yeah. Preconception. And actually, I work with people who were not planning to have babies at all. It's, working with your limbic imprint is relevant for all of us. But for today's discussion, let's narrow it down to preconception and pregnancy, because otherwise it's just super broad.
Yeah. So how did you fall into this work, Nicole?
Well, I was blessed to have two amazing home births that I am eternally grateful for. And I've always been a communicator and interested in, I've got lots of really diverse and quite unique interests, and I've always been really into sharing about them too, you know. And so I've made a couple of films along the way, and I'm looking forward to when my children leave home, I'll make some more. After my amazing home births, I was just really switched on to the idea of conscious birth, and I felt like there wasn't really enough out there sharing about the spiritual aspects of birth and how deeply transformative it can be. And so I started researching about exactly what films were made, and one of them was Birth As We Know It, which is made by Elena Tanetti Vladimirova, who is the Russian-born visionary currently living in the US, who is the founder of the Birth Into Being method. And, yeah, I ended up meeting her and hosting her for a workshop, and that was like 12 years ago now, and basically my life has never been the same. Partly because she is just just an incredibly inspirational woman who, you know, has opened up my mind and my field to so many different things, but also because of the healing potential in the work that she and now I offer. You know, it's just all that those sort of childhood wounds and inexplicable kind of core beliefs and things were able to be shifted to, yeah, to just open up my life in a huge way. So that's how I fell into it.
Amazing. I think I have watched that documentary or the video you're talking about. It's been a while though, so I might need to go back and watch it. So maybe is it easy to access to watch the video that you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, normally we say this at the end of a podcast, but if you go to my website, birthintobeing.com.au, and you sign up for my newsletter there, you get a free 25-minute viewing. The actual film is for sale on birthintobeing.com, which is the international website, and that's like 72 minutes, which is a much longer version, much more comprehensive. And it's an incredible film, and it is getting a little old now. Because some of the footage is archival footage from the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, where they were experimenting with water birth in Russia.
Wow.
Yeah, and Elena's story is absolutely fascinating. She was right there at the forefront of the beginnings of water birth, and which was in Russia with another visionary called Igor Chekhovsky. Currently quite a controversial figure. But, you know, that is the origins of water birth. And, it's a fascinating story, and lots of the footage from that time is in Birth as We Know It. So you see babies swimming with dolphins. You see women walking into the sea and emerging with their babies. And, you know, it's incredible footage. And, you know, it's one of the four – it's an iconic birth film. It's one of the forerunners of the conscious birth movement.
Okay, so what is Birth Into Being? Like, so what you teach courses to parents. What's involved in your course, and what do you take women or partners or through with when you say like transforming kind of or going into that limbic imprint?
Yeah, I might start by talking about the limbic imprint.
That would be great.
It's not a term that many people are very familiar with. And so basically the limbic system is the part of the brain that governs our emotional bodies, our emotional lives. The amygdala is in the limbic system, which people might know that as the one that sort of helps us to process fear. I'll just turn off my beeping phone. You know, our gut instincts are actually connected to the limbic system. So, you know, our cortex is the part of the brain that governs all of our rational thoughts. And so we can, you know, as an example, have a complete plan with all the pieces in place, you know, brilliantly executed, ready to unfold. And then at the last minute, the limbic system kicks in and stops you walking through that door of your perfect plan. Mm-hmm. And so how that translates to birth is that our limbic system can override all of our other rational thoughts and feelings and create panic or fear, or a sense of lack of safety. And, you know, we all know how that can impact birth. And it also impacts conception.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people go through jump through a whole bunch of physical hoops when they're struggling to conceive without necessarily exploring what's happening in their psyche.
Mm.
So the limbic system is what governs all of that stuff, and it's incredibly powerful. It's you know those pictures that brilliant photographer Lennart Nielsen did of the, I think it's called, I should have pulled it out before the interview, A Child is Born. You know, yeah. that fantastic picture yeah. book that has all those incredible in utero photographs? Mm. And very, very early on in the life of a being, the spinal cord is one of the first things to develop. And at the top of the spinal cord is the limbic system. And so it is the oldest part of the brain, the part that is there well before the cortex and all of our cognitive abilities have developed. It's the feeling realm. And, you know, there's a lot of research these days that is also connecting the polyvagal nerve, so which travels up the spinal cord, to the limbic system. And so basically there's this kind of governing body within ourselves that we're quite unfamiliar with, and that in our cortex dominant culture we're pretty unfamiliar with, or we like to subjugate it. You know, we like to suppress our feelings and soldier on and get things done and override our doubts and override our fears. And, you know, understanding that the limbic system is actually incredibly powerful and, you know, is running the show ultimately, is a very valuable piece of information, because then it helps you to prioritize taking care of those emotions, those states of being that are very primal. So then we come to that. So that's the limbic system. And then we come to the limbic imprint, which is really relevant in relation to pregnancy, because that limbic system is being developed right from the get-go. When a fetus is 9 weeks old, there are thousands of connections being made and nerves being created every single day that are in deep communication with the mother. And so whatever the mother is experiencing, the baby is experiencing, and it becomes an imprint that we then live with for the rest of our lives. That brings me to talking about, you know, how we can work with it, but we might want to explore a little bit more before we move on to how to actually work with the limbic imprint. But we might want to explore that correlation between, you know, the baby's experience and the mother's experience, because I feel like it's a very profound connection that is can have lots of positive effects. And it also, you know, mothers are rightfully so very sensitive to the impact that they may be having on their baby. And it's really important that we explore that from a perspective where the mother doesn't feel an increase in pressure or stress, because, you know, we all know there's enough of that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So one of the ways that I recommend in my work with women to communicate with the baby, regardless of its age, you know, so it doesn't need to be a full-term baby to be able to benefit from hearing, you know, nurturing words or feel your caress on the outside of the womb. You know, when a mother has experienced a peak moment of stress, and then knowing that she's potentially imprinting her baby, seeks regulation of her nervous system and of that stress, so too the baby receives that feeling of regulation, and the mother can communicate very clearly with the baby, "Mama's got this.
Yeah,
I'm sorry that peak stressful moment happened. Mm. It's okay, Mama's got it. I'm going to do my best to make sure that doesn't happen again, or I'm going to take us to have a beautiful bath now because we both need to have some downtime," or, you know, to really acknowledge and live from the reality of the symbiosis that's the case when a woman is carrying a child. So, yeah.
That's that conscious connection of pre-birth bonding, and also knowing that as a mother, none of us are perfect. We're going to be going on these emotional rides of like a roller coaster ride, and we'll have moments of stress and worry and anxiety, but from what I'm hearing, it's just catching yourself in that moment and then coming back into what I guess you can control in some ways, which is something that Nicola teaches. And one, it's the breath,
yeah.
And the breath can help drop you back into that
parasympathetic
nervous system. And I think from what I also, and what Nicola and I also work with as well, is just kind of sharing this in a way of gentleness to mothers and teaching them what they can do rather than what they can't control, because there is, and you know what we're all going through right now, what the world is going through right now, and we've regularly talked about this in our podcast with COVID-19 and the stresses and everything that's on the news. You know, we are just being bombarded with trauma all around us and negativity, but it's all around us, but it doesn't have to be within us.
We don't need to absorb it. What do you think, Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of us have been on a journey with all of this change. And I totally agree. There's a lot of stress flying around right now. You know, we're so blessed here in Australia that it's fairly minimal compared to what the rest of the world is going through. But I think that seeking regulation whenever you possibly can is the key, you know, and prioritizing that, especially when you're carrying a child, knowing that they are absorbing, you know, the highs and lows of your nervous system, just means that can become a priority instead of soldiering on.
So what are the things, obviously taking yourself for a bath and, you know, obviously bringing yourself back to that conscious moment, what else would you kind of recommend to a mom that may be going through a lot of things at the moment, feeling very, you know, on edge? How would you help someone in that moment?
There are so many tools, and, you know, it sounds like both of you have got plenty at your disposal as well. You know, meditation, breath work, journaling, releasing, finding an empathic listening partner.
Yeah.
There are so many different things that we can do to take care of ourselves. But I think the big one for me is removing pressure wherever we can. You know, like if you can't, you know, just pulling an example from my own life, if you can't make the sauerkraut that day, then you just can't. If you can't that day, you can't. You know, not create unnecessary pressure, because, you know, if we were facing, you know, really big, serious issues, there is plenty of things that we can let go of. And so what I think is that even when we are feeling ungrounded or, you know, overwhelmed and stressed, removing tasks from our day, removing pressure upon ourselves, you know, it's more possible than we give ourselves credit for.
Absolutely. I think I shared a task this morning with a coaching group of ladies that I'm going through, where I say, what is a story that you're telling yourself right now, and how can you soothe your soul? Like, how can you soothe yourself in this moment? What one thing could you do just to give yourself a moment? And I think it's just that we are telling ourselves a lot of stories in that moment of anxiety, aren't we?
Totally. And I mean, look, a few years ago, I experienced a complete letting go when my father was leaving his body. And I, you know, left my family home, went and stayed in Sydney, gave myself over to, you know, service. And it was incredible what I actually could let go of that I thought I couldn't. And it's the same when we're pregnant, you know, you can just let go of all those shoulds and, you know, but the thing is that underneath all of those shoulds and underneath a lot of that pressure, there are generally core beliefs or unmet needs that are driving that. And so that's where working with the limbic imprint can actually help you to find equilibrium when you actually go back into the core of, you know, why are you a people pleaser?
Yes.
Why is it that you find it so hard to say no? Why is it that you want to run the perfect kitchen, house, business, etc.? You know, why does it feel that it's never enough, that you can never do enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the context of the limbic imprint recoding that I do, it's about looking at what are those primary imprints of life that occurred either during your gestation, birth, and early years of life that are driving this behavior. And unfortunately, traumatic birth is a, you know, has a lot to answer for in setting up imprints where people just are striving far harder than they need to. And it does show up a lot in pregnancy because people have really high expectations and goals of themselves. And again, I just want to stress, this is not about creating another higher, harder to attain goal of being, you know, a perfectly peaceful person. It's about working with what you have right now in this moment, and being gentle on yourself for the moments where you are feeling anxious, overwhelmed, stressed, you know, and being able to, just like as a parent, you have to learn how to apologize to your children sometimes, you know, when you fall from grace. Likewise, as a pregnant mother, you know, being able to express to your child, wow, that was really full on. Let's come back down to equilibrium now. Mama's got this. I'm with you. You are not alone. You are not responsible. And so basically being aware of our child's imprint, or our, you know, unborn child's imprint, and the development of that ties in very deeply with looking at our own limbic imprint and where or what are the core beliefs that are driving certain types of behavior that leads to overwhelm and anxiety. And yeah, looking at our own birth and how did we enter the world? Were we held, cared for? Did we feel safe? Were we indeed safe? Were we nurtured afterwards? Was our own mother in a state of overwhelm and anxiety? Did we live in that perpetual state? And if we did, what can we do about it now?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And what kind of work do you do around that to help people to, or women to release this, to observe it and be okay with it?
So we do the primary process of the birth into being method is a recoding exercise where we get to re-experience our entry to life. Yes. And that is from pre-conception, reconnecting with our original intention for coming to earth to begin with. And for that, I do ask people to put aside their, you know, religious preferences and philosophical beliefs, and just, you know, see the exercise as a creative exercise where we are co-creating a new imprint for their nervous system. And so it's a little, yeah, depending on where people sit with that is how much they need to put aside. Other people are just like, yeah, let me in there, you know. But so we do this recoding exercise where we are connecting with the original intention for coming to earth, connecting with our tribe in consciousness, so, you know, generating an understanding of and a felt sense of being part of a tribe of beings that are there to hold, nurture, teach, and be with, in every sense of the word, with you as you journey to earth and have a human life. And that is a guided visualization. We do a number of different steps before we go into that. So we're not going into it from a cortex driven perspective. We've generally had a bit of sharing and connection with the concepts around limbic imprinting and connecting in with what people know of their own births and their own early life experiences. And so all of these steps kind of help somebody to drop right down into a place where they're feeling very receptive and open, and that the very cells of their body are ready to receive. And so we use movement and dance and breath work. And basically, when I'm running a weekend workshop, the entire morning session is just, leaving our stuff at the door and preparing for this exercise of going into a visualization that is extremely rich and very, very easily absorbed into the nervous system when you've really taken your time to prepare for it. And the other thing is that people are coming out of their own intention and their own resonance with this work, so that always helps. And this visualization goes from preconception all the way through their gestation, birth, and the very first moments of life. I have other exercises that go right through, different stages of childhood and life, but that primary process is about re-experiencing birth as blissful, re-experiencing, reconnecting with yourself as love. And it's pretty juicy, wouldn't you say, Shari?
I mean, I only had the opportunity to do like a 1 day more condensed workshop with you with the other practitioners that before our conference, but it was beautiful. I'd love to do the whole weekend course with you.
Oh, me too. Sign me up.
Yeah. I think especially after doing my own work with Nicola, and I didn't realize actually how much the power of the breath can also awaken and bring back maybe memories or those limbic imprints from, from how I was brought into the world as well, and how much it actually can then still be affecting you emotionally and even physically, like those physical blocks. I had that release last year as well, I think, and it presented physically within my body, and it's really started making me look at my journey through the womb and how I came into the world, which again I've shared before, which I really feel has led me into the work that I do now, is to try and really help support and give women and couples the knowledge and tools and techniques to be able to, I guess, become more conscious. That's the word. Become more conscious of how they can go through their pregnancy and what they can do to help their own baby and create a connection. That bonding with the baby is very important. Yeah.
And what I love about what you're saying really is very similar to the work that I do, but it's slightly, obviously different, but it's that thing of just allowing a woman to arrive into herself as she becomes a mom herself, to release the things that are holding her back, or so that then she becomes a parent of her own choice, of her own will, and allowing herself to, step into that mother role, into magnificence, I feel.
Absolutely. It's so interesting because the transformation will happen whether we are conscious of it or not, whether we embrace it or not. There's no doubt about it. Becoming a mother is a significant life passage that is going to change the way you are in the world and the way you are with yourself and, what's that lovely quote? Becoming a mother is like having your heart walking around
outside of your body.
Yeah, outside your body. it's definitely like that, and there's numerous different ways in which that manifests. But that, when you are open to consciously take on this journey and really use the time to explore, because there are so many things, like earlier when we were talking about anxiety and things, and knowing that you're impacting your unborn child, and even if you're preconception, knowing that you're impacting your ability to conceive through having these peaks and troughs, whilst that can lead you to prioritize your own emotional and nervous system well-being. Likewise, when we take on the journey of transformation, it really opens us up to developing life skills that help us to be the mother that we want to be as well. You know, like learning how to say no. I mean, you know, I think it's vital, vital preparation for birth, especially if you're birthing inside the medical system. You know, you need to be able to navigate through that system, you know, with your big girl panties on. It's, yeah. It's like you have to. And that in itself is training for becoming a mother too, when you deal with, you know, sandpit scuffles and things like that, you know, and go on into the teenage years and the stuff that you have to deal with and the boundaries that you need to hold either with your own child or your partner or other parents, or, you know, it just goes on. And that skill development is part of the transformation. Even though you've got no idea, especially as a first-time mother, you've got no idea what's coming, you know? So, again, coming back down to those core beliefs about yourself and the world is what underlies, for example, your ability to say no, or your comfort with having your big girl panties on, with being autonomous in your decision-making, with trusting your own decisions. You know, so it's not just about how you relate to the outside world, but it's about how you relate to your own intuition and inner guidance. Do you trust it? You know, like, there's just so many different ways in which the core understanding or the core beliefs that may even be a little bit hard to put your finger on straight away, you know, and take some work to uncover, impact the way you operate in the world. And yeah, I just think it's such fertile ground, being, you know, being pregnant and having all this stuff come up, and the increased access to our intuition as well is also really, like, because you might be giving yourself more time off, you might be having more sleep than usual, you're definitely going to be more hormonal, and you're in contact with aspects of yourself that you sometimes just might not have access to. And all of that creates a little bit of inner conflict, or it can do, between, you know, what you know in your bones and in your heart to be true and what the overculture is telling you.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Speaking to me in every way, shape and form.
Yeah. So this sensation of conflict that can arise is actually an invitation. And it is an invitation that if you answer the call and you do your work and you know, really take advantage of the transformative field that pregnancy and preconception is, you will learn valuable tools for your journey as a mother.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least you'll be inspired to want to learn. Mm. I think that for me, I had no idea anything about pregnancy or anything about birth. No one had ever spoken to me about it. My own mother hadn't really spoken to me about it. But as soon as I was pregnant, it was this inner voice, that inner intuition, and that's when the inner voice was questioning. But then what I was hearing from the outside was like, don't question, just do what the doctor says. But then internally there was this like, no, I need to learn more. Surely I'm not flawed, that I just have to have the drugs. You know, I need to learn more about this. Mm. And it was like my pregnancy, and I think, well, like you said, for everyone, it is such a journey of awakening, but we also have to be open to that awakening. Mm. And want to learn for ourselves. Like, no matter what anyone says to us, it all comes from us and what we do in our preparation that will make the difference. Mm. But you have to be willing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really, you know, it's with a very heavy heart that I say this, but for so many women, it is their second birth.
Mm. Yes. 100%.
Mm. And I say that with a heavy heart, because so often it's a sad experience or a traumatic experience of their first birth that leads them to look for other ways and look for more information and to give themselves permission to listen to that inner voice. You know, or it's their journey of healing from that birth. And yeah, I just wish that, you know, people like the three of us could really every first time mother, like, please, let's not go down the route of trauma before people are willing to open their heart to new information. But, you know, everybody's on their own path. And for many, it's the difficulty of that first experience that propels them. And, yeah, maybe they wouldn't be propelled otherwise. I know.
And I think it's, again, it's coming back to that trust. You know, we're taught as we get older from childhood that, you know, the medical system is here for us 100%, and that they're the ones with, you know, all of the tools, and that that's the safest place for us to be. But I think the education is where there isn't any, you know, the education is so, isn't really talked about enough. Like, you know, for me and Shari, and I know for you, I just want to sometimes go out with a megaphone and say, just do the work. Come and see what answer is.
Yeah. And yeah. And sadly that doesn't, you know, being forceful at all about it doesn't kind of work, but anyway.
No. Yeah. I do believe like there is definitely a shift happening though. That, like I have seen this in the last couple of years, and like majority, to be honest, of my clients are all first-time parents. And you know, in my classes I sit there and I just say, you know, congratulations on taking that first step. But yeah, I do definitely work with second-time parents who did have that traumatic experience where I guess they did, I guess, just put all of that trust into someone else making the decisions for them. And for it to not work out, that then they start to really realize and question. But I do feel that obviously there's always more, but I personally feel that there's a lot more questioning going on.
Yes.
Now,
I think. And there's, you know, really, you know, dedicated birth advocates who are sharing that information, like Melissa Spilstead of Australia, who's, you know, done an amazing job of creating a, you know, for want of a better term, an army of, you know, birth advocates who are out there educating. And, you know, that's fantastic. And being on the ground working with women, and the advent of social media as well. So, you know, we're not relying on the mainstream avenues
for information.
There's so much more independent information out there, and that's wonderful. It can be overwhelming, but, you know, yeah, it's definitely creating a wave of change, which is fantastic. And, you know, from my own very broad perspective, I really, you know, I'm a raging environmentalist as well. I live off-grid and have done for the last 20 years in an effort to reduce my impact on the planet. I'm a gardener and I do, you know, lots of low-impact choices in my life. But I really strongly believe as well that if we continue to birth with the high statistics of trauma that we are, then we don't really stand a chance. Like, we have to shift the way we birth if we want to create a generation of empowered, strong individuals who are capable of working together.
Yes.
Because, you know, we, you know, the dominant culture is one of people working in isolation and in a hierarchical model. And we know that that's not really effective. Like, you know, look at what's happening with America. You know, it's a mess. That model does not work. You know, I'm just thinking of Trump when I say that. Yeah. Try not to put too much politics in. But, you know, we need people that are able to work together. And the baseline for that is a feeling of safety amongst each other and in the world. And I believe that that comes from a gentle birth.
Yes,
absolutely. You know,
and the other thing that we haven't touched on yet is that when a woman has a positive birth experience, she is so much more capable of giving her child the love, attention, and nurturance that they need. Mm-hmm. When a woman is nursing her wounds, you know, emotionally and psychologically, and also physically, she's just not able to have the same level of attachment and bonding to her child, which, you know, there's study after study after study that shows that when a child receives that unconditional love, their baseline for their life is considerably different to when they are, you know, potentially a little bit isolated, or, you know, not, they might survive quite well, but if they don't receive that loving care, their emotional well-being is nowhere near the same. And they, even their intellectual capacity is impacted. So, you know, there's a fantastic guy, which Gabor Mate. I don't know if you guys are familiar with his work.
I have heard of him. Yeah.
He is incredible. He's an addiction specialist, but so much of his research actually speaks to the importance of attachment parenting and stuff like that. And so, you know, I just want to flag that as well, that, you know, the work that a woman puts in during her preconception and pregnancy period that deeply impacts the kind of birth outcomes she has. And, you know, it's not even about cesarean versus vaginal birth.
No.
You can have a fulfilling cesarean experience. I mean, I am a natural birth advocate, but you can still create, you know, if a cesarean is necessary, you can still create circumstances where it's not so harmful for the child. And, you know,
I think we need to rally around these women as well as a community of friends or family, and not just say, well, as long as baby's safe, that's all that matters, and totally disregard their experience in being that, well, your baby's here, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be feeling this trauma and things like that. And that's also where I think women put a lot of pressure on themselves as well after, but, and then they push down what they have experienced, but then that pushing down of the experience, they're not actually feeling into it, which could then inhibit the connection with the baby at that time. You know, I've just had a mum this morning actually that just messaged me and had to have an emergency cesarean at 30 weeks because she has had a low-lying placenta and started to bleed, and the placenta started to come away. And she's now been separated from her baby because her baby's had to go to a totally different hospital. And I just wanted to hold that space for her to say that, you know, you did everything right. And when you do get a chance to hold your baby, that bond will happen. And, you know, because obviously then she's now feeling this total detachment from her, from her baby, but it was necessary that this cesarean happened because her baby otherwise might not be here. And I think it's just really important that postpartum period is starting to become really important as well, which I never had any education around the postpartum or support. It was just like, yep, your baby's here now. Okay, we've seen you for a couple of days. Everything's fine. Off you go. Off you go on this journey. And, you know, and with family and friends that also maybe didn't realize the importance of it, like, it's hard. It's
super hard, and it's wonderful that the tide is sort of changing there.
Yes.
But there's plenty more work to be done, and in terms of educating around the importance of that community support for mothers and new families, you know, the whole picture of the non-birthing partner as well, because, you know, they're also transitioning.
Absolutely.
You know, and their support is needed for the mother baby dyad, and, you know, like, it's so complex, and it's wonderful that the information's getting out there. And, you know, people like yourselves who are, you know, giving your life to creating change. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So how can women partners work with you preconception or preparation for birth?
Yeah. At the moment it's all online. My website is birthintobeing.com.au. I do single sessions as a taster. I do, you know, packages. One of my newer offerings is to actually journey with a woman for the last trimester. Yeah, and that's a bit exciting to have that long-term connection online because, yeah, there's all sorts of different ways, you know, but yeah, no, I am missing the in-person workshops, I have to say.
Yeah, I am too.
We all are. Yeah, and by this time next year, I have a very exciting, I've been studying water therapies. By this time next year, I will be having my own private pool, heated pool, to be able to work with integrating the limbic system work by immersion in warm water and gentle body work. And it's something I've managed to do here and there, but warm pools are very hard to come by.
Yeah.
So I'm building my own and I'm very excited about being able to bring that to people in about a year's time.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. I've definitely been looking at that myself to do rebirthing breathwork in warm water. I think Russia are doing it actually, aren't they? There's a few people in Russia that do it regularly and someone in the UK as well.
There's around the world, there's a modality called Watsu, which is Chiatsu in water that is, you know, one of the forerunners. But since then, there's been different spring-offs of different modalities from that. But for me, there's a lot of correlation between working with these embryonic states of being and holding a person in warm water so that they can really integrate into the very cells of their body the work that we do. And so that's all going to be happening on the mid-north coast of New South Wales.
How exciting.
Sounds amazing. Please keep us posted.
Amazing.
We'll put all of those links in our show notes for you and all your social links and everything as well. So if anyone wants to learn more from Nicole or, you know, to engage with Nicole to prepare for conception or during pregnancy or birth, we'll send them your way. And I think your work is...
It's beautiful.
It's needed. And we really thank you for taking the time today to share with us.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity. It is a very rich and deep field, and there's always so many different avenues that we can travel down in this dialogue. And
we've just scratched the surface of it. Thank you for joining us, Nicole. We really appreciate it.
Many blessings.
We hope this episode has helped you on your own journey. We would love it if you can subscribe and leave a review and help us to spread the word of positive pregnancy and birth.
We would like to personally invite you to join our Nurture Hub online community where you can connect with other women and be mentored by us one-on-one in one of our future episodes. It's so important to feel connected and nurtured through this time, and we would love to support you.
Thanks for listening.